The popular upheaval in Syria is now stretching into its fifth month with no signs of concession from President Bashar al-Assad. The death toll from the government crackdown on protesters across the country exceeds 1,600, with an estimated 3,000 arrests. Anthony O'Mahony is reader in theology and the history of Christianity and director of the Centre for Eastern Christianity at Heythrop College, University of London. He says the future political and religious stability has implications not just for Syria itself, but for the region, in particular for Christianity.
Well, first of all, I think if we think about what's being called the Arab Spring, and as we're moving into the summer, and obviously it's a long-term process, right across the region is just not one, it's not one event with one outcome. So in many ways, the great political changes which are happening in the region are very local, and they have local realities and dimensions. And so the context is always very important. And when we look at Syria, we become very aware that Syria is a very complex society with many different ethnic and religious groups. So I think we must always be aware that Syria itself as a state holds together around the question of its nation state, which came into being in the interwar period, confirmed after the Second World War, but also that the fact that the country itself is made up of many different religious and political communities. And so it's often felt that if we look at Arab and Islamic identity, it might represent 90% of the population. But if we break that down, maybe 60% of the Syrian population may be Sunni Muslims, 10% Kurds, maybe 10% Christian, and maybe 15% Alawite Muslim, and the rest other minorities. So it's an extremely complex society. But what's quite interesting has been the emergence of the Alawite minority, which is an important expression of Islam locally within Syria, and we can find it within Turkey and some parts of Lebanon. So it's very local, a very regional expression of Islam, which emerged in the 9th century, has often never been seen as an orthodox mainstream version of Islam by the majority Sunni Muslim tradition of the region itself, although the Shia community in recent years have seen the Alawite family or Alawite community as part of the wider Shia family. So what we found is the Alawite community becoming far more associated with the Shia trend. So when we understand that, we can see that relations between these two branches of the Muslim family, the Shia family, including the Alawites, and the Sunni Muslim community, are of great importance for the religious and political stability of Syria itself. So when commentators are looking in at what's actually happening today, what they're trying to suggest is that the Alawite community, which has been very strongly associated with the ruling elite, the Ba'ath Party, and particularly the Assad family, who are all Alawites, and who have maintained themselves in power since the 1970s, what has been increasingly suggested is that the conflict with the regime, especially around certain political trends within the Sunni Muslim community, particularly the Muslim Brotherhood, means that that conflict is taking on a more intra-Muslim sectarian conflictual reality. I think we're also very much aware that Syria in the 70s and the 1980s went through a period of quite intense sectarian conflict between the Sunni Muslim majority, particularly the more Islamist or Islamic political movements, and the Alawites. And one of the events which is marked in everybody's mind in Syria was the uprising in Hama in the 1980s. Against the regime, in which approximately, it's suggested, 20,000 people were killed. And that did take on a sectarian tinge. So with that historical background in mind, with the current tensions, what we find is that the potential for tensions between the Alawites and the Sunni majority is certainly there and is certainly ratcheting up. especially as the tensions within the society around political reform, around the Ba'ath Party, around the rule of the Assad family, what we can see is those tensions beginning to emerge and taking on a more sharper focus.
At the origin of these protests, as at the origin with many of the protests that have swept the region, was the need for political reform, the economic stagnation of the region. Has the Assad family in any way, or has the ruling authorities in any way, tried to address these issues?
I think the economic situation affects absolutely everybody right across Syrian society. Obviously, there are areas where economic disadvantage affects different towns and different regions more than others. And so some of the biggest cities, Damascus and particularly Aleppo, have done reasonably well economically. But there are other parts of the region, particularly in Deraa, where we've seen, which were the first signs of discontent against the regime, were very much around some of these social economic issues. Also, Syria's experienced, or some of its regions have experienced, an extreme drought, which has really meant that a lot of the rural population have found it quite difficult and have moved into urban areas, creating a greater tension. Also, we must realise that Syria has received up to 1 million refugees from Iraq, which again has put a lot of a strain on the social economic fabric of the country. So there is a problem, as in many parts of the region, around a very slow, in many ways quite a decaying economy, and which has led to a general question around the impoverishment of some parts of Syria itself. So there are real economic drivers to some of this political discontent. And on top of that, I think that what we've seen is that there are a wide range of political forces within Syria who wish to have access to political power, and they wish to see the political system being opened up to the wide range of ethnic and religious and political forces that represent the whole of Syrian society. So that said, how the regime has responded to that is one of the, I suppose, the very important markers of how Syria will develop into the future. And many, I'd say most Syrians, want to see political change arrive at through compromise, through steady incremental reform, rather than sudden revolution or sudden change, which wouldn't fit well for many of the community. So many, I think, political change, what they want to see, political change reordered around a stable management of that change. But some of the great frustrations of coming through here is that many feel that the regime itself is not willing enough or moving quick enough to accommodate political openings to the wide range of political forces within Syria itself. So there's a great deal of frustration that has emerged. And that frustration is taking itself out, as we know, on protests, some of the violence. Much of the violence has been quite regional, hasn't been necessarily dominant right across the country itself, has been quite regional. So these frustrations are really beginning to unleash themselves. There's been a great deal of conflict between many of the security forces and some of the groups in the regions. We've seen Friday prayer, particularly in Homs and Hama, becoming a great staging post for protests against the regime, particularly from many of the Sunni political community. So there's great tensions within in society. There's great desire for political reform. But on the whole, most commentators say that the vast majority of Syrian population want to see a managed transference of power. They can see what's actually happened in Iraq, where the political change brought around by the 2003 invasion of Iraq and the fall of the Ba'ath Party led to a mini civil war between Kurds, Sunnis and Shias, which was extremely violent, led to hundreds of thousands of people being killed. And Syrians would see what happened in Iraq and would not want to see that take place within their own country. So they will hope that reform, political reform, will come, new openings will come. The other question that a lot of people want to see is not just political liberalisation or economic liberalisation. They want to see the end of corruption. Corruption is a problem within Syria. The other elements I'd say that many are very concerned about is that they feel that Syria has become quite isolated within the region, and they want to see Syria to take a more engaged and positive role in the changes of the changes which we see happening within the region. And Syria is a pivotal state. Everyone's felt that Syria is a very important state for relations between the Arab world and Israel, but the Arab world and Iran, the Arab world and its relations with Turkey. We think of Syria and Turkey have a border, and there have been great tensions between Syria and Turkey in the past, and they certainly haven't gone away, and in many ways they've started to increase somewhat. So I think we need to take a step back and look at the general context, and what we can see, I think, is that political change is obviously needed, economic liberalisation is needed, the end of corruption, but also people will look at what happened in Iraq and in other parts of the region and will not want to see that level of its instability emerging, or the worst scenario of a real intra-Muslim sectarian conflict, which would divide the country and create real problems for many of the different minorities, the Christians, the Kurds, and others who will not want to see that. So there's a general desire not to see Syria take on a sectarian or close to a civil war scenario. And many of the regional powers, if it's Turkey, Jordan, Israel, Lebanon, the idea that an extreme civil conflict leading to major political instability happening in Syria would affect them all, would affect Turkey, would affect Jordan, would affect Lebanon, and would also create a regional crisis which would have unforeseen consequences. So it's not just an internal issue around political reform and political stability in Syria. It's also a regional question, because many of the regional neighbours would not want to see Syria experience extreme political instability with unforeseen consequences for them as well.
How would you contextualise or explain, if we can, the harshness of the Assad's crackdown on protests in Syria? We're speaking about almost 3,000 who have been arrested, 1,700 who have died since March. In the cultural context, the social context of Syria, how can this be explained?
Very interesting. I think everybody has many long-term observers of Syria are not surprised at the severity of the crackdown. The regime wishes to maintain its political authority and wishes to remain in power. And they have real constituencies. They represent real communities of interest, not just the Alawites or some of the minorities, but a wide range of Sunni political families, economic interests. No one wants, many of these groups would not want to see major political change. And as I explained before, I think there is a deep concern that instability could rocket in Syria. What the regime has been very wary of is how a very local problems have developed into widespread political tension. So the extent and harshness of the political crackdown gives you a sense of how much the regime wishes to maintain itself in power and a form of political stability in its favour, but also the possibility of real tension getting out of control. And as I mentioned before, the events which happened in Homs and Hama in the 1980s will be on everybody's mind, the potential for extreme violence, which we have not seen in a wide-ranging way in Syria to date. We've seen extreme crackdown, well over 1,000 people being killed, but we have not seen political violence on the level of Iraq in recent years or what happened in Syria in the 1980s. So to explain it, we have a very strong authoritarian government who have very strong security and political apparatus who've gone out to challenge political forces which challenge the state itself. So I think it's very easy to understand that level of conflict. But I reiterate, we have not seen at this present time the level of violence we saw in Iraq post 2003, or to a certain extent, the level of violence we saw in the 1980s. So I think we need to have a bit of political and modern historical context to understand where we are, but also where, if instability really takes hold, where we could be in the next months or years to come.
As you pointed out, and the comparison that you have made with the situation in Iraq post-US-led invasion, the transfer of power there, the Christian minority, even though it is a minority in Syria, 10%, I believe, is indicated. How are they being affected by these protests, first of all?
Very interesting. The Syrian Christian community is a very important community for the whole of the region. If we remove, they're probably the second or third largest concentration of Christians in the Middle East, apart from Egypt and Lebanon. So Christianity in Syria is significant for the presence of Christianity right across the Middle East region. And also Syrian Christian communities have been there from the foundation of Christianity. We think of Paul, St. Paul, who was from the region. So Christianity is an indigenous faith to Syria, and I think that must be always recalled. So Christians feel that they have a stake in the future of Syria itself. Now, Christian communities may be up to 10% of the Syrian population. They are not represented by one community. They're quite diverse, and they're very rich between the Orthodox and the Catholic communities, all of the Eastern Christian denominations. And what we found in recent years is that the Christian communities have grown closer and more aware of each other. And there's been quite important both ecumenical, dialogical developments, but also a great deal of more religious conviviality within the communities themselves. And I think that needs to be said. Now, the Christian communities within Syria would be looking at what's happening with great concern, because as in Iraq, where intra-Muslim conflict between the Sunnis and Shias meant that the Christians in many ways were the least advantaged population in that conflictual scenario, they will be aware if a sectarian tension really takes hold in Syria, that they will be subjects of that political change, but they will not have the leverage to actually affect the how things will develop, or they will feel that they have any real political power to alter the political future of Syria in any particular way, and hence, you know, their stake in political change is very much can be seen as quite passive. So they will be extremely concerned about the development of a sectarian conflict between different wings of the Muslim tradition, because they will see what's happened in Iraq. So the Christian communities will want to see, and I think generally it's been perceived that Christians in the region have felt that they want to see a political change and opening up of political space. Christians have often felt that they have never been able to play the political role they would like to. They would also like to see a greater emphasis on economic prosperity and opening of cultural and societal space, but also a way that they can participate in society both at social and political levels. But so Christians have been very, very supportive at many levels to see political change take place in Syria. But again, I think much of the Syrian political leadership have come out very strongly and saying that any political change that needs to take place should take place within a context of political stability and manage change, secure change. So the Christians in Syria will be very concerned about their future, because they will be very concerned about how the regime manages their relations with the rest of political society, how the regime manages the whole question of political reform, how they understand the emergence of this security crackdown, what does it mean for them. They will be concerned about how intra-Muslim tensions take root within Syrian society, and they will be concerned about how the country develops, and they would certainly not want to see Syria being regionalized in a conflictual sense. They would not to see Syria broken up. The other point is that most scholars suggest that possibly up to half of all Christians now live within Damascus. So they will be very concerned about what's happening in Damascus, the role of the regime within Damascus, political stability there itself, as well as there is a large Christian community in Aleppo. So the Christians will be very concerned about what possibly could happen in Syria, and they will want to see real change, the change which is done in a stable and managed way. Otherwise, they will look at what happened in Iraq post the 2003 US-led invasion and the fall of the Ba'ath Party, and would not want to see that take place in Syria itself.